Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
We are just coming out of talking about what's taking place, getting a perspective of what happened in Great Britain with this tragic beheading and murder of this British soldier outside of his barracks, and getting a perspective from Professor Sharon at Hebrew University. You've got to hear it. If you did not hear that in the first hour, you got to hear it. Also, Franklin Graham speaking to Greta and understanding, you know, from cover to cover, I have no choice but to believe the Word of God. It's going to give you a perspective of what we need to do and what we have to do and what it's going to be like when you begin to play by the rules again and teach the rules of the game, how things are going to happen, giving you a perspective. We're going to be talking in the extra hour, continuing our conversation of prophecy and prophecy being fulfilled and being prepared. But we're also going to talk about a doctor, Dr.
Anthony Leventino.
Is Dr. Leventino testifying before Congress about his practices when he used to do abortions himself and how tragic it really is, because it's on the cutting front right now. God is moving. He's hearing our prayer. Dear God, end abortion, send revival. And so much more. You're listening to BFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Edith. Is this you, Edith?
You gotta have another intro. I mean, hello, hello. Okay. Anyway, we're getting there. We gotta get past this first part. Anyway, so listen. If you've been listening, you know what we're just sharing a perspective, trying to get a Word of God perspective of what's going on right now. You got to hear it, because if you haven't heard it, there's a warning. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. I mean, think about this, EZ12.org, EZ12.org. We are a sign. We are a sign to you. And in the context of that, is we've been walking out this prophetic word, and you look at prophets that do certain things, and God lets us know what's taking place, and then he tells us, you know, through a prophet, or we hear it from a prophet, and that prophet is basically somebody just hearing what God's saying and obeying what he's doing and saying what he told them to say. And in that, God lets us know what's about to happen. And we're seeing things happen just like God said that they would. But also, he lets us know that with every situation, he provides a way out. And the way for us is just to repent, for the church. Just repent. Quit saying we're right when we're wrong, and get right. That's get right with God. And realize, too, that though the things, some of the things we're talking about, and we talk about everything, so... And is it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. You're not going to have one without the other. He says that those that give up anything for him and for Jesus Christ and his kingdom in this lifetime will receive it back 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. But with it, persecution. You know, when he talks about the seed and the sower, he says this one is sowed upon rocky places. This one's sowed upon areas of thorns and thistles. This was on path, but this one was on good soil. But he said, but persecution came in because of the seed, because of the word. And it's like, it's just not going to be like this Hollywood version of the gospel that's been going out over America, where you have stunt people that come in and serve your persecution time. You're going to have to walk through something, you know, and get through something to be able to have something in God. So it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. So when you hear us talk about the worst of times, we got to talk about it, because the people who are going to be experiencing the worst of times can move over into the best of times and say, you know what, I want to move on to God's side on this thing. I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. But I think about this. I just had met with a law enforcement officer last night. And a couple of years ago, I had a chance to be able to share prophetically what God was going to be doing. And I spoke to those in authority in that particular area. And, of course, If you're used to delivering prophetic words, it's kind of like talking to a wall. You know, people they can't get a grid for it. That's why they have to understand who that person is talking to them in relationship to God. That, hey, I better listen to this, even though I'm not feeling it right now. And of course they didn't listen. And now, I sat in a meeting last night with one of these law enforcement officers that were there, in the midst of all that, who defended status quo, saying everything that I told them that would be taking place is now has taken place. Everything. One of which is that that crime has gotten so high now, that particular county has the highest crime rate in entire state that they're in, that murders have gone up, burglaries have gone up, economy has gone down, businesses have closed, budgets aren't there, they're undermanned for law enforcement, they're undermanned where the Department of Justice is coming in and saying that the jail system and that kind of totally run wrong, and that it's undermanned, and everything just seems to be, and the only answer is we got to have more money. It's like, there's not going to be more money. That's the whole thing. Yeah. We're going to go through some times where we got to balance our lives and balance this reality. And for the church, it'll happen at the cross, you know, and for everybody else, I'll just benefit off the church repenting. And here they are walking this out right before us and testifying of this reality. And not only just crime, but violent crime has gone up where, you know, this is what he said. They're no longer where two young people would be upset with each other and they would fist fight and they'd finish the fight and then they would be friends afterwards. Today they pull guns out. This is what the officer's saying. They pull guns out and shoot one another and do these violent type crimes, and said even people in one part of this particular county is going to the other part of the county, and they're no longer robbing that part of the county. It's like, you know, this is just the beginning.
Wow.
This is the beginning. And if you haven't yet heard the Elijah Storm, you need to go to VFNTV.com, go to VFNTV on your menu and watch the Elijah Storm. It's time to start listening, prudent preparation, and realize that, but understand this, it's going to be the best, it's going to be a huge harvest of souls coming in. You know, the dogmaticness and the hard-headedness and the hard-heartedness and the stiff-neckedness. I mean, there's nothing softer than a heart that's been through great tragedy. And there's nothing looser than a neck that has been humbled down and been bent down. And realize God loves everyone. And this storm was brought and allowed to come in their life so that you could preach to them the good news and God could heal them, forgive them, restore them, and begin to bring them back to a better place than they've ever been in their entire life before. It's time to preach the gospel. And God has shown me thousands are going to be coming to him in a powerful way. And just get ready, you know, get ready for the harvest of men and women who are going to be, they're going to be so drawn to God that it's not going to be what you said. You just have to give them the opportunity to come.
That's right.
Give them the opportunity to come. And not only that, the fullness of who he is, broken legs being healed and deformities being pressed out, and the power of God moving so powerfully that the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees are going to freak out and run, because what do you do with Jesus walking through your city when you've been preaching religion for so long of a God you didn't even know? And that's what happened with the religious folks of Jesus's days, that they could have just accepted Jesus and begin to move in the power of God, but instead they rejected Jesus and competed with him and became jealous and tried to kill him. And eventually, when God decided now is the time, they even had him killed. And all these things the Lord has shown me. And so it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. And you need to redefine what the best of time is, because the best of time is not what the American gospel said it is. The best of time is when you are walking with God. You're walking with God. It makes me think about, you know, in the days of Jesus' life, when he's walking in his ministry, and he's talking about rich. Rich meant this, that you had a day's worth of clothes and 2 days worth of food.
Wow. A day?
Yeah. This is what Tozer writes about.
Wow.
And so in the context of that, we're very rich. And obviously that ain't working.
Not at all.
And so, but if we'll turn to God, then he'll let us continue to walk in this blessing that he has given us. And when you compare it like that, when God himself was saying through his son, Jesus Christ, this is rich. Imagine how he sees Americans, because Americans, poorest folks, find them wherever they're at, are richer than 80% of the world's population, which is almost 7 billion now. Think about it. That's amazing.
It's huge.
Isn't it? I would say he would say we're rich. You know, and much is given.
Much is required.
Much is required. So I mean, I'm telling you, just last night I had this meeting with this officer, and this officer who was in the earlier conversation some time back now is talking like, he's like, hello. I'm thinking like, this is that. And
connect the dots.
That doesn't connect. And the only hope that he presented that they're looking for is money. And it's like, you can't keep on printing money. It's just not going to keep happening. So you're going to have to figure out how to do this thing with wisdom and not just throwing cash at it.
Yeah.
And but just cheer up. Realize if you have not yet heard the Elijah Storm, you need to hear the Elijah Storm. Watch it. You watch it on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. Look on your menu at the top. It should say VFN TV. Click on that and look and go through the teachings, the prophetic words there, and look for the Elijah Storm. After that, you know, is this nation under judgment? Then watch God's perspective of, you know, a state of the nation. The state of the nation, kind of getting a perspective of what's actually taking place. You know, and is America under God's judgment? You know, watch that as well. And you're going to get a good grid for what's going on. And then a tell between two kings. We're going to have to decide who's going to be our king. Is it going to be Jesus or is it going to be man? Who's going to be our government for the church? Is the government of America going to be our church, or is the government of God?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important because the kingdom of God does not operate off the rules of order. Robert's rules of order. So right. It wraps off the Holy Spirit's rules of order under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And so be encouraged. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. You want to be able to say, don't give up the blessing because you're not willing to go through something. Brace yourself. Humble yourself. Begin to abide with the Lord now before this thing picks up its momentum, and realize that you're about to see wonderful, awesome things take place in your lifetime.
You know, just recently here, CBN is reporting that a former abortion doctor is testifying before Congress, before a subcommittee, about life. As this doctor, Anthony Levitino, and he gives his own background, his information. You know, we've been talking about what, you know, the justice that is happening. All this stuff is coming to surface, and God's bringing it to surface. And, you know, in the Gosnell case, you know, he was convicted. He was convicted of murder. And, it, you know,
we learned yesterday about the 14th Amendment, the Constitution, that says if you're born in America,
mm-hmm.
then you are a citizen.
That's right.
And so these babies were born.
Yeah, they were citizens.
So they were citizens,
mm-hmm.
which means they had all the constitutional rights as anybody else, and he murdered these citizens.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
14th Amendment.
And Fox News reported that he actually murdered 16,000 during his career.
Wow.
16,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And so this doctor, Levitino, is actually...
And that's so bad, just getting convicted for three of them puts you down for, what, three life sentences or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to listen to Dr. Levantino's testimony and what he has to say before Congress about his credentials, what he did as with abortions and murder, and how he feels about it today.
Chairman Franks and distinguished members of the subcommittee, my name is Anthony Levitino. I'm a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist. I received my medical degree from Albany Medical College in Albany, New York in 1976 and completed my OBGYN residency at Albany Medical Center in 1980. Over my 32-year career, I've been privileged to practice obstetrics and gynecology in both private and university settings. And from June 1993 until September 2000, I was an associate professor of OBGYN at Albany Medical College, serving at different times as a medical student director and residency program director. I've also been in private practice and currently operate a solo gynecology practice in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Thank you for the invitation to address this issue. During my residency training during my first 5 years of private practice, I performed both first and second trimester abortions. During my residency years, second trimester abortions were typically performed using saline infusions or occasionally prostaglandin instillation techniques. These procedures were difficult, expensive, and necessitated that patients go through labor to expel their preborn children. By 1980, at the time I entered private practice, first in Florida and then in upstate New York, those of us in the abortion industry were looking for a more efficient method of second trimester abortion. We found that suction dilatation and evacuation, or suction D&E for short, offered clear advantages over the older instillation methods. The procedure was much quicker and never ran the risk of a live birth. Understand that my partner and I were not running an abortion clinic. We practiced general obstetrics and gynecology, but abortion was definitely a part of our practice. Relatively few gynecologists in upstate New York would perform such a procedure at the time, and we saw an opportunity to expand our abortion practice. I performed first trimester suction, dilatation, and curettage abortions in my office up to 10 weeks from last menstrual period, and later procedures in an outpatient hospital setting. From 1981 through February of 1985, I performed approximately 1,200 abortions. Over 100 of them were second trimester DNE procedures up to 24 weeks of gestation from last menstrual period, equivalent to 22 weeks post-fertilization age. As an aside, the last menstrual period dating system and post-fertilization dating systems are equally valid, and both are found in the practice of medicine and in mainstream medical literature. Most, if not all, embryology textbooks, for example, typically date fetal development in terms of days or weeks post-fertilization. In clinical obstetrics, we use the last menstrual period system. Both are valid. It's only necessary that one specify which system is utilized, and H.R. 3803 does that. Any competent physician can read the definitions in H.R. 3803 and understand exactly where that cutoff line is. Imagine, if you can, that you're a pro-choice obstetrician gynecologist like I was. Your patient today is 24 weeks pregnant, measured last menstrual period as obstetricians typically do. At 24 weeks from last menstrual period, her uterus is 2 finger breadths above her umbilicus. If you could see her baby, which would be easy on an ultrasound, that baby would be as long as your hand plus a half, from head to rump, not counting the legs. Your patient has been feeling her baby kick for the last month or more, and now she's asleep on an operating room table, and you're there to help her with her problem pregnancy. The first task is to remove the laminaria that had earlier been placed in the cervix, the opening to the uterus, to dilate it sufficiently to allow the procedure that you are about to perform. With that accomplished, direct your attention to the surgical instruments arranged on the right. The first instrument you'll need is a 14 French suction catheter. I brought one along so you don't have to imagine it. It's about 9 inches long, it's clear plastic, and there's an opening through the center of it. Picture yourself, if you can, taking this instrument and introducing it through the cervix and instructing your circulating nurse to turn on the suction machine. What you'll see is pale yellow fluid running through this, through the tubing into the suction machine. That was the amniotic fluid that was there originally to protect the baby. You're next going to need a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's stainless steel. And the jaw on this is composed of rows of sharp teeth. You introduce this instrument blindly and start pulling off limbs. Feel yourself grabbing and pulling hard, and I do mean hard, and out pops an arm about that long, which you put down next to you, followed that by a leg just as long. And then you tear out the intestine, the spine, heart and lungs. Difficult part of the procedure is the head, which is about the size of a plum. You know you got it right if you've, again, this is blind, but you know you've got it right if your instrument's spread about as far as it can go. And you've got a hold of this, and you know you did it right if you crush down a white material that runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you can pull out skull pieces. Many times a little face will come back and stare back at you. Congratulations, you just successfully performed a DNE abortion. And if you think that doesn't hurt, if you believe that that isn't an agony for this child, please think again.
That's horrific.
It is totally horrific. That is so horrific.
That's horrific.
And he's testifying before Congress now.
Yes, because
you can see this video. You're going to make it available on the VFN Torch.
This will be available. In fact, because Congress right now is considering a federal law to ban abortions after 20 weeks. And you know, this is, you're talking about instruments of death. These are tools that are ripping and literally taking limbs.
Well, it's a hand and a half. The baby's a hand and a half long. All the parts are there. Everything's there. The child, and blindly sticking you got to see this video. It's gonna be a little VFN Torch. That it is a big, huge,
clamp, like a
tongs or I can't think.
Forceps with jagged edges.
And it looks like it's about maybe 20 inches long or something. That's what you heard banging against the mic because he was holding up for Congress, and he says you stick it in blindly. Mm. Blindly and just start tugging because you think it's a baby.
It's a baby.
And then grabbing hold of whatever you can grab a hold of, and all of a sudden you just pull out what you get a hold of, and it's an arm. He ripped the arm off the baby. Mm. Listen, this is so evil that we're refusing to look at it.
Yeah.
But God's bringing it. If we'll look at this and go, God, this is evil. This is wrong. God, forgive us. We should not have done this. What? I don't know. This is evil, God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beginning of recovery from this.
Absolutely.
But he's reaching in and grabbing the child's arm, ripping it off of his body. And then he grabs another arm and then grabs a leg and then starts pulling. And it's like, and then when you're trying to reach for the head, which is the size of a plum, and crushes the baby's head, that when the gray matter, when the liquid comes out, the white liquid, he says, you know that you got the head now. Because that is the white substance coming out. This may sound gruesome to you. This is happening. How many abortions have happened since 1973?
50 million.
How many abortions happen a year now? Like 1.3, you know, I've got all the numbers on this. You can find this on the VFN Torch. Millions are happening. Millions are taking place. And we're going to be held accountable for all this innocent blood.
That's right.
Listen, this it doesn't just go away. Abel's blood still cries out today.
Yes.
And this soldier's blood that we just talked about earlier in the program over in Great Britain, his that innocent blood on that man's hands with that meat cleaver, that blood cries out before God. And all these 50 million
abortions from 1973.
And if you actually took the population of America and you started, you know, counting off the number of states, is that like half of America?
That's half of America.
Half of the United States of America's population was aborted. Was aborted. This way, you know, done away with and destroyed these children. And the thing is like, it makes me think of this. You know, I'm listening right now. I want you to hear this. This is Planned Parenthood attorney testifying before the Florida legislature regarding the role of abortion when a baby is born during what they call as a botched abortion. It's like, okay, you were murdering the child, but now you find out the child is alive. That's what they call a botched abortion. Yeah, which he just got three life sentences for, right?
God's exactly. God,
which is murder. But she's calling this. Now, you got to hear this, and you can see her testimony. We're going to make this available, too, on the VFN Torch. But listen to her. This is testifying before the Florida legislator about what Gosnell just got convicted of his murder. Listen up. She called. They call it a botched abortion.
Discussing here is in the event that a human being is born and in need of medical care, what do we do?
If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that's struggling for life?
We believe that, you know, any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician.
What happens in a situation where a baby is alive, breathing on a table, moving, what do your physicians do at that point?
I do not have that information. I am not a physician. I'm not an abortion provider.
I understand that you're not a physician, but you do represent
yes.
Physicians who do perform this activity. And can you tell me what happens when a baby is alive on the table? At that point, what do they do with the baby that is struggling to live?
Well, you know, we don't know even how prevalent this situation is.
I don't know how else I can get an answer, Mr. Chairman.
You stated that that a baby born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family? Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that. I think, you know, I would be glad to have some more, you know, conversations with you about this.
51% of Planned Parenthood income comes for committing
what
abortions.
What objection could you possibly have to obligate a doctor to transport a child born alive to a hospital where it seems to me they would be most likely
to be able to survive.
What about this, and I'm just speaking out here, what about those situations where it's in a rural healthcare setting, the hospital is 45 minutes, an hour away, that's closest trauma center, emergency room. You know, there's just some logistical issues involved that we've got some concerns about.
Who cares if it's a rural health clinic? If the baby, if there's a baby born that's struggling, we ought to do, I think that's every right for us to intervene if we have to make sure that that struggling child survives. And to say that we're inserting politics in it is just ludicrous. This is just, again, like Representative Davis says, I can't imagine that we're having this conversation. It's a great bill, and I look forward to supporting it.
What you're saying, if you oppose it, is you have a living baby struggling to survive, and you do something other. I don't even want to talk about what you do, but you do something other than resuscitate and save the baby. And I would urge your support of this bill. It makes total sense. I congratulate the sponsor.
Boy, I've been pro-choice my whole life, and I can't think of a more sensible bill in this regard. So I'll cut it short, and I'll support the bill. Thank you.
This is so important because what they're testifying for the Florida legislature, that the who gets over $500 and some odd million from taxpayer money, Planned Parenthood, that what Gosnell just got convicted of, the murder of the American citizens, these children that are born, which they define as botched abortion, she was trying every way to say, you know, that the killing of that baby happens quietly between that doctor and that mother. And right. That's how we, it's our position with Planned Parenthood, is that this child, whether it lives or dies, with a citizen, whether the citizen lives or dies, this 14th Amendment citizen to the United States of America, whether they're just going to live or die, we privately do that. We bring our personal justice on this child and kill it when it's laying out there on the table.
Born alive.
Born alive. Born alive. Listen, dear God, end abortion, sin, revival.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
I was wrong. This is John Fuller with a Focus on the Family Minute. And while admitting your faults can be difficult, it's really humbling when you have to apologize to your own child. But Tricia Goyer suggests that's how your toddler learns.
You know, even with the 2-year-old, there'll be times I'll be so frustrated and mommy's trying to get this done right now, and just stop and say, wait, what's more important? And bending down to her little eye level and say, I'm sorry mommy was grumpy, you know, and then when she's grumpy later, I can say, remember how mommy said she was sorry when she was grumpy? Now you need to say sorry to mommy because you're grumpy. But I think, again, it goes back to being a leader.
That's an important reminder from Tricia, and I'll admit I've had plenty of opportunities personally to model that kind of remorse and apologize to my child. Try it for yourself, and eventually you'll start to see your child follow your lead. Now you'll find more trusted advice at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Where is it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? And I need that app too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
Me too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for though, there's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty and how to present the gospel to this generation. Partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos and Chris. We're talking about the tragedies of and the realities of the abortion that's taking place. Of course, if we've heard about the Houston abortion situation where you can see this on the VFN Torch, where these assistants of his were testifying or just recording a video. And it was by the Houston Chronicle, I guess.
Right, Houston Chronicle, and the title on the Torch, you want to go to VFNTV.com and select the Torch, is Chilling Interview with Abortionist Staffers, Eyewitness Testimony of Late-Term Abortions. These were staffers who participated in these abortions, and they tell it all.
In which this doctor who just testified before Congress explained in detail what that is. Dr. Anthony, was it Valentino?
Laventino.
Oh, Laventino. Okay, Laventino. And he's described in detail, and he's realized, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then we heard the Florida legislature, you know, listening to the reality. But then we saw Planned Parenthood testifying, or their representative testifying there that, what part of don't you get? We're okay with this.
Yeah.
We're okay with this. We're okay with the mother of the child, not the father now.
Mm.
She didn't make that child alone.
Right.
The mother,
notice that. The mother, the physician, was making that decision, but the father was nowhere.
Right. And if you don't think it matters, interview some child that you did not let his father or her father in their life, because no matter what you say, they're upset about that.
Yeah.
And because they want to know their fathers just like they want to know their mothers.
Yeah.
It's like one particular person says, the best parent is both parents. Right. If you can't get along together, don't make it where I can't have that particular parent in my life. But we talked about earlier, too, this is so important. We want to be able to because hopefully we'll get a chance in the near future to talk about the four red moons coming and what NASA is saying. Because in 2014, around March, it's going to begin a sequence of red moons that will go, I believe, all the way to Rosh Hashanah, all the way to September. And in that time frame, it could be longer than that, I'm not sure, that we're going to see just great turbulence in Israel and in the world. And as we're moving up, and we're just talking about all this, before this chief with the military is talking to, you know, Israel about what he's expecting right here, that Israel at any moment, could be... listen to CBN News first. Listen to CBN News as they're talking about what the chief is saying, the chief of the armed forces is saying in Israel, what was taking place, and we'll talk more about it.
Turning overseas, Israel's Air Force chief warns Israel could be in for a surprise war. Tensions are increasing along the Israeli-Syrian border. Israeli Major General Amir Eshel says that the threat of a sudden war erupting on multiple fronts is becoming much more realistic. He pointed out today that Syria has invested in the best air defenses it could buy. That could embolden Syrian President Assad to do things he might not have done in the past. Eshel said if the regime collapses tomorrow, those weapons could be dispersed and pointed at Israel. And that means a surprise war could take many forms. Yesterday, Israel and Syria exchanged fire along their shared border.
That's CBN News reporting about what the chief is saying in Israel about a sudden war could be taking place in Syria, which sits on the northern borders of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, church, ever how goes Israel, so
That's
goes
right.
the church. And right now, Israel is walled in on every side.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jerusalem once was walled in on every side. Israel itself is walled in on every side. That is not good.
No.
They're surrounded on every side, you know, like a trembling cup is what the word would say. And so when they say that they are on the verge of possible war from many fronts, guess where the church is at the same situation on the war of many fronts? And we're seeing, as we talked about earlier, the sword being brought against God's people. and we're seeing the situation happen. Can you put all these pieces and parts together that, hey, you know, we need to pray for Israel, pray for the protection of Israel, you know, get involved in things like CUFI, Christians United for Israel, that holds our leadership's feet to the fire in regards to standing with Israel as a nation. Secondly, begin to sow financially into Israel itself, helping the churches in Israel. And we do through Avi in Tel Aviv there, through several things that they're doing mm-hmm. there in Duguid. But understand this, that Jesus said that the people who don't walk with him understand the seasons and the times, but his people quite often don't.
Mm.
And it's like, but look up, look around, and look at the clouds, spiritual clouds. Look at the climate. Look what's going on. And be involved. It's important for us not to be silent during a time like this. And understand this. Ever how goes Israel, so goes the church.
Hmm.
And that shouldn't be our driving force, but realize that
it's God's a reality.
God's not going to sit back and let us apple of get a finger stuck in the apple of his eye
mm-hmm.
and nothing be done. Israel will stand. But it makes me think about Jim Baker. When Jim Baker was in a wilderness experience, and he had these awesome encounters with God, and one of them, the primary focuses that he had when he was there was he just wanted to focus on Jesus' words. He didn't mm-hmm. want to focus on anything else but just Jesus' words. And I encourage you to go back to the original intent. Go back to the words of Jesus and begin to just realize everything else has to submit to what he says. And in that, he had 31 prophecies that were given. 31 prophecies. And the last one, I believe it is, is the only one that has not yet come to pass.
Wow.
And the last one was that there was nuclear waste, I believe, in Kedron Valley or the Valley of Megiddo. Either way, that Israel had some nuclear waste there. Well, John Paul Jackson, you know, with Streams of Ministry, also prophesied about, you know, Israel having to launch out with significant power and might over a situation. And people are going to ask the question, do they have anything left? Is there any more?
The secret weapon.
Is there anything? They're thinking that they may have done everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel's not going to sit back. You know, from my experience in law enforcement was that little people are the most dangerous people because they know they can't play around.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I can't let them get a shot in on me because one shot and I'm out.
It's over.
So they don't have a long conversation with you. They're seeing how they're going to take you down the whole time they're talking to mm-hmm. you. And I'm just talking from a law enforcement perspective. And they have to because they're small. Israel's small. You can fit Israel inside Jersey. That's how small it is. From the east coast to the west coast, or the east to the west border, western borders, you're looking at like 60 miles. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
You can drive from Jerusalem to the northern border in like 6 hours.
Mm.
Of course, you still have further to go down to the southern borders. But understand this, that it's not that big, and which says, you know, if it's not that big, then why didn't you take it a long time ago? Because you can't.
Right.
This, everybody wants to be bigger and stronger and wealthier, and it's like, no, you understand that God is our protector, and the fact that you are weak, that's when you're strong. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are. That's where God shows himself mighty. And the very fact that Israel's so small, and there's like 12 million Jews on the face of the earth right now, I believe. And 6 million are in Israel, and 6 million are in America,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
And there's, of course, scatterings, you know, but that's not many at all. It's like, well, it's because God's protected them. Nothing's going to happen to Israel. Israel's established now. Now this is 1948. It's going to be here until the Lord returns.
Catch a clue. I mean, it's a sign.
It's a sign. And another sign, too, is how much hatred.
Yeah,
is towards Israel. Well, why
you got of the all whole people, of
there's
all
6
people.
Billion people. Why, you know, why bring up the 6 million Jews? Why would you even bring them up at all?
Right,
is because Satan has your tongue and has your mouth and using you to come. You're coming against God. You're not coming against the Jews. You're not coming against Christians. Listen, if you have not yet listened to JJ, go to the VFN Torch and upper right hand corner, type in the search box. JJ stands for Jews and Jesus. That is the perspective we have to always have.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And so you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it. There also, I want to remind everybody that you can get VFN Radio, VFN TV, on your mobile device. If you're not listening to us right now on your mobile device, it's pretty cool. John, get this. Pat, get this.
Talk to us.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I am riding my motorcycle.
Uh-oh.
I am riding my motorcycle. Actually, I had a moment of time. It was a slender moment. But I ran out of my office and I jumped on my bike and getting away. And I put the safety gear on. There's no seatbelt on a motorcycle, so you just kind of hold on and Jesus holds you on to the thing. And I'm listening. I have my iPhone earbuds in my ear, you know. And I have it. My iPhone's turned to VFN Radio. And I'm listening because it's 24-hour broadcast. You know, we record live. Right now, it's live when you're hearing us. If you're hearing us between the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. Central Hour, but you can hear the same program all day long because we have so many different time zones all the way over to Yulong in China that he's listening to, and Israel, and Malawi, and just all over the world. And so it plays all. So we'll have 2 hours live, but then it will play. So I was able to get on my bike. Push a simple button on my application on my iPhone and be encouraged by VFN Radio. So I'm riding my bike, man. It's just a good thing. It's a really good thing. God's good. God's good. And so I'm riding it and I'm listening to an encouraging word. You know, one of the teachings actually is what I'm listening to off of the application that you can listen to them, which is Desperate for God's Glory. As a matter of fact, that's going to be available really soon. And, wow. You know, Desperate for God's Glory. I'm just so excited about that. Hopefully it'll be up this week. But I'm listening to it, and I'm just thinking, oh, man, this is just perfect. I'm driving out into the wilderness. I'm going out to, this long country road, man. It's just like, at first I was like, this is great. Oh, actually, it was like Spring Lake area. Do you remember Spring Lake back in Florida when we had the father and son camping trip at Spring Lake?
Oh, yes. My goodness, you're taking us back there. Father and son camping trip. It's pretty beautiful out there. And did I tell you about the young man that I saw at the McDonald's drive-through? I won't confess when I got there.
Yes.
But I'm driving through, and I'm back in town in Pensacola. I hadn't been to Pensacola in a couple years, and I'm coming to pick up some food. And he says, "Don't I know you?" I says, "I'm not from here, you know." And he says, "No, I know you. I know you." And this is this older teenager, probably young man, 19, 20 years old probably. And he says, aren't you the SA guy? And I said, actually, I am. And we just realized that we had this moment, you know, at the father and son camping trip. We were so blessed to share this prophecy where really 1,000 father and sons camping in the wilderness. And it was just great to be able to reach out, Greg, to the whole community, you know, and to see all of these sons, all of these fathers, and their hearts turning back to each other. And this young man came with his father, who was a principal there in Pensacola. And Larry Knight, if you're listening, we give you a shout out.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What a faithful partner, faithful dad. He came out there with his four sons. And oh, my goodness, was spreading his time, you know, with all his boys. And they came back year after year after year after year, greatly impacted. And we had an essay contest that they could write about the father. And he remembered me. And he says to this day, you know, I thank you so much for that father and son camping trip. And Greg, it's made a tremendous impact. You know, I remember seeing Derek not too long ago in the Walmart. He said this very same thing, you know. So it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
Well, so, you know, it's part of the prophecy. You know, we you know, as we always said, that when we were doing that for 10 years, and you can find out more about that at greglancasterministries.org, and it's referred to it as the Next Step Outback. Today you can click on and find out, even see videos of what we're talking about. But it's a prophecy of turning the father's hearts back to the children and the children to the fathers. This is not just natural, but it's spiritual. It's the church. The church is a family, and families have fathers. And so we are actually talking continually about, you know, relating as family, because we have to, the enemy's fought so much against family being a positive thing and an encouraging thing and a purposeful thing. And everything's about fragmenting it. And so we have to fight against that current and believe God to touch us and say, you know, family's good. And it is good. And you do find health in the family. And it's just a powerful thing. And so you can find out more about that. But yeah, SA, I totally remember that, because we're actually trying to get the, and this is really tough. Anybody, if you're a teacher and you're listening, you know how hard this is. Barbara out there and also Kechara teachers in Texas out there, you're probably listening right now, and Ayana, is that, you know, trying to get a boy or a man to write something is very difficult. And so we thought, hey, you know, we will just make a big a theatrical moment about it. We'll say you need to write an essay, but we'll do a play on a word like essay, you know. And so John was, his name was Essay, and he was supposed to come out in a bandana, and he was out there saying, you know, essay, everybody doing it. And they were all into it, and everybody remembers it today, but hardly anybody wrote their testimony. And it's like, tell us your testimony. And this, we've realized, you know, as God was, you know, bringing this into television industry, is that he wanted us to get into, because men will actually record something, but they unless they won't write something. And so they had no problem sharing their testimonies. You can see that, like I said, at GregLancasterMinistries.org, and click on the Next Step Outback banner. But I was riding my motorcycle, and I'm going down past that Spring Lake area. And so this is the unknown territory. I'm driving my bike, and I've never really actually, because, you know, it's new to me. My neighbor, you know, blessed me with this bike, and it was just really cool. I probably wouldn't have got one from anybody else other than him. And so I haven't ridden on soft dirt roads before, sandy roads. And so I'm paying close attention, you know, because I'm out there and I'm listening to VFN radio. My helmet's on. I got a face protection on and all that, so I can't really see what's going on. And the sand's getting softer and softer and softer. And all of a sudden, it's going through this wooded area. And I'm thinking, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm not that talented. I'm not able to turn this thing around. I'm going to get this thing in the sand. And all these thoughts cross in my head. And so then I passed this old, it looked like petticoat junction house. I don't know. Y'all can't relate to that. Some just old wooden.
Like a little house on a prairie.
Yes, kind of, but it had a porch on it, you know, and it was up. And they were sitting on this big chair, and this man was on this, sitting here, rocking back and forth, and had his big dog, and had a pig. This pig was so big, it must have been 1,000 pounds, man. It looked like a little small mountain there, you know. I didn't realize it had a nose for a moment. I thought it was just a hill or something. And then I'm passing slowly, and I'm looking at him. And I didn't look to the right, and I realized once I passed it that there was a sign there. So now I'm caught between barbed wire fence, going down this road, passing pigs and chickens and goats, and also the past this man on this porch up here. I'm thinking I'm on his property. I'm probably on his property. I am on soft sand. I am between barbed wire fence. I'm passing goats and pigs and chickens and stuff. I don't know who's on this front porch who might be drawing down on me any time right now. I got VFN radio playing in my ears. And now I'm realizing I might be in trouble. And so I kind of turn my bike. I can't turn it around because I'm stuck between the barbed wire fence. And I'm going down through the woods now, and I passed all that farm here. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. And I start thinking, I might not make it out of here. So I pull them earphones out. I'm thinking, I have never been out in this country area. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Remember it? Remember, John? Remember that?
You might need your bulletproof vest to get out there.
I know. And so then I keep driving. I pull the earbuds down. Like, I got to hear what's going on. I pull my face mask up. I'm looking around thinking anytime something can happen out here. I'm pulling. I don't know. I just didn't know where I was. And then all of a sudden, man, after just continuing to ride, I came out on this beautiful lake. It's a river out there. It's called Beck's Lake. And it was just beautiful, man. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, I would have never known that. And so I show up, I'm going to park my bike, take off all my gear. You know, it's in Florida. It was hot. And I go down. There was a fire burning. There was tents out, but there was nobody there. And they were gone, you know, I guess. As I'm walking, there's fishing poles in the water. And so I'm walking out, and I'm sitting on this bench or something that's out there by the water. It's just beautiful, beautiful. And then my mind starts thinking, I wonder why there's nobody here. I wonder why the tent. Why is there a fire burning, and why are these fishing poles still in the water? I'm thinking.
See?
Oh, my goodness.
That's almost just as good as, you know, trying to walk at night in certain parts of the Bronx. You know, like. The park here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, kind of like. So I was sitting there, and so my mind, you know, of course, the adversary is there to kind of fill us in on what's going on, saying that they're probably all dead, and you just walked into a murder scene. And so then, you know, I think this is right behind Pat's house. I'm messing with you. We're just having a good time today. But anyway, so I got out there. I sat on this bench, and it's just beautiful. I took some pictures, and I'm thinking, you know, I had a meeting scheduled with one of the ministers in VFN, and so I'm calling him up, and I'm telling or texting him because he's at work, and I say, hey, you got to meet me here. And I'm thinking, I don't even know where here is, you know. And so I did the GPS thing. I copied the link. I sent it. And all of a sudden, these sailors showed up. They went to go get some firewood or whatever. We're nice guys, and they had spent the night there, and it's just a beautiful place out there. And but then I realized after about 5 minutes, every living flying creature was flying, biting me. I was getting things in my ears, things in my eyes. I mean, they were all over me. So I looked at these sailors, you know, and I said, how do you stop these bugs from biting you? Though that you don't stop them. You know, I'm thinking like, I'm out of here. You know. So I got back on my bike and took off. The big thing I was talking about with all this is that I had a bike. No, it was the fact that I was listening to VFN radio because I have a mobile application. If you want to be that mobile, no matter where you're going, you can download the VFN TV app. Either search for it in iTunes Store, search for it in the Android Store, or just go to your browser on your phone and type in vfntv.com and just follow the instructions. Listen, there's nothing about, no matter where you go, even to this wild place in the wilderness, you still can listen to VFN TV, VFN radio, no matter where you go. Welcome back to VFN Radio. What a ride that was. And it makes me just want to get out on my bike again and ride. I'm looking forward to getting it up. You always got to check. You always have to check your air and your tires. Mm. Because you get a flat tire on a bike, it's not good. You have to check your oil, I think it is, and you have to check something else.
Uh-oh.
I'll let you know when I'm on the side of the road somewhere. I remember riding my bike, and there's nothing like riding in the right weather.
I bet.
And wrong weather's not good. You stop at a red light in the Gulf Coast area when the sun, with the black asphalt just baking you there, you're just like frying. And once you start moving again, you're cooled off. But yeah, it's just. Same to you. That was funny.
Okay.
But yeah, and so I'm looking forward to, I mean, it's perfect weather to be right again. What I like to do is sometimes listen to a book, an audio book, and you just put the audio buds in your ear, turn it on, and then enjoy God's creation. Just ride around.
Nice.
Yeah, and just listen and stay alert. You definitely want to stay alert, have your right riding gear on. And it's what's so interesting about a motorcycle is it's legal. vehicle to ride on the road. You got to buy all your different, you know, stuff for it. And with that, how dogmatic they are about putting seatbelts on when you're in cars, and you get all these fines and these terrible things happen to you when you're in a car. I mean, you got like 50, you know, $2,500 baby seats to get $25 bill. I mean, all these things is like, but then when you get your bike, I remember I got my bike and riding down the road the first time and going like, I had to tell myself, this is dangerous. It doesn't seem like it, but you know, okay, I'm just sitting on a rocket here riding. Of course, it's not a rocket bike. It's a moped type of thing. No. And you're riding down and you're so used to doing something that brings safety to you.
Sure.
And you reach over and you pull over your shoulder strap, your waist belt, and you click it or something like that. There is no click on a bike. Mm. You know, you just get on. There is a click. It's your helmet click and your and what I have is riding gear that has a jacket that has air holes that breathe, but it has padding in the all the different parts of your
like
body.
Your elbows and stuff.
Your elbows, your shoulders, and all that kind of stuff. And so you have gloves on that you wear that has, you know, hard backing for the knuckles and the arms. And you wear jeans and riding boots. And the reason why you do that is because you're going to make contact with whatever you land against. You know? And so if you don't have these gloves on, what happens is when you hit the road, it just pulls your skin back.
Yikes.
And you bust an elbow up or that type of thing. But you can really hit the ground with this stuff on and amazingly, you know, make it.
Remember the guy we saw who slipped on oil at a track? We saw him not too long ago, and he recovered and told us about what had happened to him. I was amazed at how well he was doing.
Oh, yeah, that agent, yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, he was drag racing. You know, I wouldn't have done anything like that. Yeah. I was panicking on sand, as you heard just a while ago. I was like, oh, this is soft sand. Yeah, I was being challenged in my driving. But you know, so we spend most of our life under a roof, at least in America, under a roof, under some covering over where we don't get to look at the sky and the sun and all of that. And just imagine, you know, you're listening to, I don't know, some particular, maybe you're listening to this book on America, The Brain Surgeon.
Dr. Carson.
Ben Carson.
America the Beautiful.
Yeah, imagine listening to America the Beautiful, and you're riding down on your bike, and it may be loud to other people, but you got plugs in your ears, because you're listening to the iPhone thing.
Oh, is that why the guy that's barreling down me with his motorcycle, and I wave to him, he's
right,
listening.
Okay. Right, right. Or they go, you're just uncool. I don't want to wave. This is how you wave like this. You hold your hand down like this.
Oh.
If they go like this, they go, oh, you know. No, that's what's so cool about it, because you can stick these earbuds in. You can listen to VFN radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can just listen to, all the wisdom and the things that have come out over the years. It's just amazing. You don't want to, you want to be able to get that. And you can listen to it because it streams whether you're on Wi-Fi or no-fi, because it works on the 3G, 4G, and all that stuff.
That's right. You want to make sure you take a look at the our app, because it's always being updated. Every single day it's being updated. You have all the fresh content, and it's all available for you. So no matter where you're at, like you're saying, you're riding on your bike, or now a lot of people are getting ready for big weekends and doing barbecues and stuff like that. It's just a wonderful opportunity just to relax and just be encouraged and let that word just, kind of go over you.
Right. It's good. Yeah, and you can go to VFNTV.com, and it has the details how to download the app, or you can go to your app store and just search for it's a V as in Victor, VFNTV, and it'll show up in your Google Play store. It'll show up in your Apple store, your iTunes store, and your other mobile devices out there. Totally, totally cool. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.